humble guy, you know, quiet guy. Obviously, he gonna come in every day and go to work, and he gonna handle his business. So it's sad, you know, especially when you done built a relationship with, you know, got cool, you know, me and Coop pretty cool. But, you know, it's the name of the business. You know, we still got to come in here and perform on Sunday with whoever we got. So, you know, just focus in on the Colts and, you know, let everybody upstairs handle what they got to handle. But I wish my boy the best luck.
Welcome to Raiders Live. I'm Chris Townsend with Eddie Pascal. We'll be talking with our buddy Matt Walks on social media. You heard Jalen Richard there. It's not easy when you lose one of your buddies, one of your brothers, guys that you've gone to battle with. But as he said, it's part of the business.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, in reality, yes, Coop is gone. But we were talking about it off the air a second ago. And I think it's such a sports cliche, but I think it's one that really holds true in this instance, in that this was a win-win for the Oakland Raiders and the Dallas Cowboys. Coop, obviously a great player, a player with a lot of inconsistencies, if we're being really, you know, really honest about it. But a player with talent who probably wasn't going to be here long term. The Raiders now get a pick. And the Dallas Cowboys needed help direly in that wide receiving core. That wide receiving core was not good enough to get it done. And so the Raiders get a pick. They're looking long term to build sustained success here in Oakland. And the Cowboys get their guy. So a win-win.
Yeah, and I don't want to tear him down. He was a good guy. But there were times where his play was really inconsistent.
Absolutely.
And now you're looking at a scenario for the future where you have three first-round picks for the first time since 1988. And, of course, that was the draft where the Hall of Famer, the great Raider Tim Brown, was drafted. But this is a view for the future. And right now you're really setting yourself up. I know, like, some people may not be happy today, but for the future, you're truly setting yourself up.
Yeah, you're not looking to set yourself up for winning 1 year or 2 years. You're really looking to build a program, building something that you can sustain for 6, 7, 8, 10 years, right? And getting picks is part of that deal. You look at the teams in the NFL, the best teams in the NFL, the teams that are consistently in the playoffs, playing for Super Bowls, playing for championships, and they build through the draft, right? That's what they do. And like you said, the plethora of first-round picks, three this year, two more in 2020. I mean, that's how you do it. And I completely understand the sentiment of people being frustrated and, oh, you got rid of a great player. Yes, but you're really looking forward to the future with this move.
I can tell you, I also cover Major League Baseball. And this is similar to what Major League Baseball teams do. The only difference is picks versus prospects. Baseball teams get prospects, and that's how they get better. And that's why the Houston Astros or the Chicago Cubs, when they retooled their organizations to be two of the best in all of the game. And here with what the Raiders are doing, it's the same thing, but you're just doing it with picks.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard from Reggie McKenzie, we've heard from Coach Gruden, that picks, or the word Reggie used yesterday to describe the first round pick, is invaluable, right? I mean, and the fact that they got a first round pick, Reggie said, he goes, look, teams had been calling about Amari, but no one was willing to give him that first round pick. But Dallas called yesterday morning, willing to give them that pick. And he goes, it was just an offer that was too good for us to pass up.
And you think about it, if you look at your roster and you say that this roster, from the time John Gruden got here, with, we've talked about all the transactions, obviously once he stepped in the building, he didn't believe in the roster, he's turned it over, and then now he continues to look at it saying, this roster is not a Super Bowl roster. So what they're trying to do is build a roster that can get you to the Super Bowl. And you just think about the Dallas Cowboys in the late 80s and Jimmy Johnson. How they built that team was through trades and picks.
Yeah, I mean, I know we keep coming back to it and harking on the point, but this is a first-round pick. This is not a second-round pick. This is not a third-round pick. This is a first-round pick. And when you look at guys that go in the first round, you need your first-round picks to be dogs. You need them to be guys that compete from week 1 to week 17 and compete at an elite level. And you know exactly what you're getting from them. And in reality, while Coop was a first-round pick and he had some great days as Raiders, as a Raider, great moments as a Raider. We talked about a little bit earlier. The inconsistency was just there. I mean, Coop, just as easily as he could go for 9 catches, 130 yards, could just as easily have 2 for 8. So you got to have more. You got to be better from your first-round pick. So now the Raiders have a chance to capitalize on one more in 2019.
A little bit later, Caroline Kann from the Indianapolis Colts is going to join us. We'll break down this game coming up here on Sunday at the Coliseum between the Colts and the Raiders. But we wanted to address something else. There's been a lot of talk about Derek Carr. And Derek Carr responded to a lot of that talk on Twitter, on his personal account. Let's go to Matt Walks.
That's right, guys. It's the other hot news item of the morning. This is a tweet this morning from number four. I'd like to get your opinion on it. I am a Raider. It's not a popular thing to be a Raider right now, but I am and I love it. I love the struggle of trying to fight back for our city when not a lot of people believe in us. People can try all they want to tear us apart, but it's not happening to the real ones. What do you guys think about that?
He's the leader of this football team. No matter what these sources are saying, he is the leader of the football team, and he is not going to give up.
No, truth be told, I love it. I love everything that Derek said in that tweet. Derek, look, we all know who Derek is. Derek is the nicest guy you're going to meet, right? It's such another sports cliche, but such a nice guy. He's such a guy that you want to rally around. And Derek doesn't really kind of descend from the mountaintop to kind of address these things a lot. But I love that he did today. I really do. There's a lot been floating around about him and this team and all that kind of stuff. And Derek said, look, this is not so. And so I love your franchise quarterback. You said it, the leader of your football team, addressing this off the top and saying, look, I'm happy to be a Raider. I'm proud to be a Raider, and I'm going to lead this team. And I know it's not easy right now. It's not popular to do that right now, but that's what we're going to do.
Hey, the bottom line, winning is the best deodorant. Cleans up everything. But when you're losing, you're 1-5, this stuff's going to be out there. And the NFL is the king of a bunch of these reporters who are trying to get clicks and trying to get followers. And it's always source this, source that. And they try and be the first to break everything. And sometimes someone needs to stand up for themselves and say, hey, you know what? Whatever you're floating around is garbage. This isn't true.
Yeah, 100%. 100% agree with what you had to say, Townie. And I think that knowing Derek and knowing his personality and knowing that this is kind of out of character for him, I think kind of just speaks more proof to the fact that anything that's floating out there just isn't so. And Derek, we talked about it. Derek doesn't do this very often. This is not his kind of MO. And so for him to nip this in the bud, to say, I'm the leader of this football team, I'm excited to lead this football team starting Sunday against Indianapolis, I love it. I love 100% of what he had to say.
The reality is, too, is that a quarterback gets way too much praise when you win, and he takes way too much grief when you lose. This is a team game. It's about the entire roster. But everybody wants to put it on a quarterback. But I like that he's not going to run from it, that he's going to stick up for himself, and he's going to tell you this is how it is and this is how it's going forward. It hasn't been a good year. We all know that. No one wants to be 1-5. No one. And you saw how much he got hit in London and the fact that he continues to stay there and he fought to get back into the game. John was smart and said, you know what, sit this one out. Well, they didn't get the ball back anyway.
Yeah.
But you saw that even after he was dinged up, he fought to get back in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think Derek would be the first one to tell you that he's got to play better too, right? I don't think, you know, sitting at 1-5, anyone is really free of blame or taking responsibility for the record. But you're right, where the quarterback does get a lot of praise, he gets a lot of criticism as well. And I think Derek knows he's got to be better, right? But it's not just Derek. The offensive line has to play better. The defense has to be more consistent. And I think that the bye came at a good time, right? It gives you a good time to reset. Obviously, it's been a very busy couple of days here for the Silver and Black. But at the end of the day, you're back to business on Sunday against the Colts team coming off a really impressive win last weekend.
Well, let's get a little Raider roll call. Let's go to Matt Walks.
That's right. As always, we're taking your questions here in the comments. We're going to give you a little bit more time to get those questions in so I can send them over to Chris and Eddie. But right now, we've got Floyd, Susan, Miguel. We've got Mike in the comments, Adrian in Oakland, Norma in Fresno, Heather in Texas, Cookie in Dayton, Ohio. Go Flyers. And we've got over 1,000 of you here all chatting with us, so get those questions in a little bit later. We'll ask them over to them.
All right, next man up. Somebody, Cooper's no longer here. So for you to help Derek and get this offense rolling, who needs to step up?
I mean, my guy's going to be Martavis Bryant. And we've seen glimpses of what Martavis has been able to do in 2018. We've seen glimpses here and there. But I think now without Coop, he's really going to have a chance to shine. And look, Amari and Martavis are very different players. They're very different players. But at the end of the day, they're both playmakers. They're both guys that have the ability to get in the end zone, to be dynamic, to be the focal point of an offense. And so I think Martavis is a guy who, you know, he's probably going to get more looks now without Coop on the other outside there. But he's a guy that has all the ability in the world. He can do it. And so I'm really excited, you know, starting Sunday to see what he does going forward.
I'm going to go with veterans. And a tight end can be a quarterback's best friend. And Cook has been fantastic this year. He has the connection with Derek. I'm looking at him to be even a bigger part of this passing game. And then another guy that we've seen, he still has it. We really saw it in Miami, Jordy Nelson. So there has been a little bit of, we've seen some chemistry between Derek and Jordy Nelson. I'm going to look at those two guys to step their numbers up and their game up. But I think Coop, for sure, as a tight end, and what he's been able to do with Derek so far this year in John Gruden's office, I can see him even getting better. I mean, we could look at him at the end of the year and say, he has the best year of any tight end in football.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. And you're right, Jared has been outstanding. And I think, obviously, without Amari in the mix, Derek's probably going to lean on Jared a little bit more than he has in the past couple weeks. But Jared's been outstanding. But I think what's been interesting, just hearing this out loud, is that we're naming off legitimate playmakers,
yeah,
right? So
yeah,
it's not like the cupboard is bare here. It's not like Derek is going to be looking for guys to throw to. There are playmakers on this offense as is. There are talented guys that could get the job done. So now just see, it's a matter of who's going to step up and take advantage of their opportunity.
Did I mention tight end could be a quarterback's best friend?
You have. I've heard it from you.
Can I take you back to 1977? Two Hall of Famers, tight end Dave Kasper, Kenny Stabler, against the Colts in the postseason, one of the most historic plays in Raiders history.
Scratch left, Biletnikoff to the right. Back again, straight drop back, pumps once. He goes medium deep to Kasper. Kasper makes it over the shoulder catch. He's caught from behind at the 15-yard line. A very, very remarkable adjustment as Kasper, I think, first turned the wrong way and managed to run under that high lob to the deep part of the defense.
The Ghost to the Post, 1977. Talk about great history in history of the Raiders. That was one of the classic games of all time.
Truly, absolutely it was.
Caroline Cann from the Indianapolis Colts joins us here on Raiders Live. How are we doing?
I'm doing well. I'm looking forward to my trip to the Black Hole. So here we go.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun, even though we wish the records were a little better for both teams. But you're going to have a lot of fun because Raider Nation, they'll be bringing it. And the thing that I think for you guys is Andrew Luck has missed, what, 26 games in the last 3 years? How nice is it to have your quarterback back and healthy? And you know how much we know Andrew from his days at Stanford.
Yeah, it has been amazing to have Andrew Luck be back on the field, because at the beginning of the season, you could tell that he was just different. He carried himself the way that the old Andrew Luck carried himself, had a ton of confidence, and you're seeing that now play out. He has this new offense under Frank Reich and Nick Sirianni that he's loving, commanding, getting the ball, spreading it to a lot of different weapons. So Andrew Luck looks like the Andrew Luck that you all are used to seeing out there in California. And for us, we are loving it.
I mean, when we talk about the Colts, it's obviously always going to start with Andrew. But on that defensive side of the ball, tied for fourth right now in the NFL with 21 sacks, what's made you guys so effective this first half of the season in getting after the quarterback?
Yeah, honestly, it's kind of crazy that we are in the top five there, because a lot of times the defense, it's that four-man rush. It's not everyone after the quarterback, but the way that they're able to move players in and out in waves when they're choosing to pressure the quarterback, it's in situational type situations with the defense being able to get the best of the offensive line and the matchups that they have. But I think a lot of it has to do with just who are the Colts. I mean, we had a lot of players this preseason that we were going, well, what is this defense going to be? And so when you go into the season, no one has maybe their eye on a Jadeveon Clowney or J.J. Watt like teams have to with Houston Texans. It was, well, who is Darius Leonard? And we've heard of this Jabal Sheard guy, but we haven't really seen him, produce the way that he is. And then Margus Hunt of the Estonian Mountain, as we like to call him, he didn't have much coming into this season. But the way that defense has been able to work together, play in waves, has allowed a lot of different people to get sacks, and that's why they're sitting in the top four.
Yeah, and as you mentioned Leonard, I believe he leads the league in tackles. I mean, you talk about a guy who's having an incredible year.
He does. He's a player that came out of South Carolina State, and when the Colts took him, there was a lot of scratching of heads of what? But Chris Ballard said that it was really the Senior Bowl where he stood out. You got to put him up against that best talent that was also going to be drafted that year, and he stood out. He's just long, he's big, he's fast. And he's able to work sideline to sideline at that linebacker position. And it's helped the run game. It's helped in pass protection. And obviously, he's racked up a lot of tackles so far his rookie year.
I mean, shifting back to the offensive side of the ball for a sec, Marlon Mack coming off a huge game last week. What makes him so much better this year than he was last year in 2017?
He's not a rookie. I think that has a lot to do with him. And he got to spend an entire season behind Frank Gore. And those out there in California know a thing or two about Frank Gore. And then I think, too, having Tom Rathman as a coach this year, another familiar name out there in California. Tom Rathman is all about the fundamentals, and that's where Marlon Mack excels. He follows the fundamentals exactly like a coach wants him to. And then you tack on the experience that he was able to get his rookie year due to injuries, due to Frank Gore, you know, not having to carry all of the weight all the time. He was kind of forced into that starting role at the beginning of last season. So he's just more experienced. And Frank Reich said, we're going to do this running back by committee approach. But there's a reason that Marlon Mack is our quote-unquote starter. We saw that last week.
Adam Vinatieri, obviously, is one of the greatest kickers of all time. He's going to go into the Hall of Fame. He's made some of the biggest kicks ever. But right now, he's got a groin problem. What is the deal with Adam Vinatieri for Sunday?
You know, Frank Reich just said that it's different when it's a player like Adam Vinatieri that has so much experience that you're going to listen to the player with this. You're going to listen to how he's feeling. Does he think that he can go with this type of injury? Obviously, we saw him struggle last week against the Bills with that injury. So the Colts are bringing in kickers this week to try out. It's probably going to be a later in the week. It could be a game time decision. We've seen roster moves made on the road before. So depending on how Adam continues to feel this week, you hope that he's out there. My goodness, I think the NFL just in general hopes he's out there. He's 10 points away from breaking that NFL all-time scoring record. So we hope that he's able to be out there. But right now, it's just kind of a day-by-day, how is Adam Vinatieri feeling, and will he be able to go on Sunday?
Look, we know that winning on the road in the NFL is hard. It's a really hard thing to do. So with this team coming across the country, coming into Oakland, what do you guys expect from this atmosphere on Sunday?
Hey, we know a thing or two about the Black Hole. I have been there myself. It's a very rambunctious crowd, I believe. I was telling you guys before we got on, I usually wear all black on the sidelines, and I think I may stick with that this week just so I can kind of go under the cover with some of your fans. But honestly, the team is excited. They enjoy, they feed off of the crowd just like any athlete would. And I think you have some players that did play 2 years ago in Oakland, but this roster is so new, and there's a lot of young players. There's going to be some wide eyes, I believe, when they walk in there and just notice how loud and rambunctious and crazy those fans are. So it'll certainly be an exciting experience for our team, and they're really looking for motivation to come off of this Bills win, get another win, hopefully, and heading into the bye week. So for the Colts, they have a lot on the line and a lot of motivation heading into this game.
You know, it's funny, around the NFL now, so many stadiums now have that corporate feel. And you do the sidelines, you're around all these stadiums. That's one thing you don't get in Oakland. It's not a corporate feel. It truly is football fans and very rabid football fans.
Yeah, they are, and I love it. You know, we say each week, we have a roof here at Lucas Oil Stadium and love it, okay, because it's always beautiful, 70 degrees, very controlled environment. The kickers love it. But football is meant to be played outside. So I look forward to the games where it's outside. It feels like the football you grew up watching even in high school. And then just getting the atmosphere of the fans there. I know I'm looking forward to it. The team is looking forward to it. It'll be a good weekend.
Caroline, great stuff. I also do the sidelines, so I'll see you on the sidelines on Sunday. And have a safe trip.
Great. Well, thank you guys so much. I'll see you Sunday.
See you Sunday. Really good stuff.
Absolutely.
Really good stuff. Let's throw it over to Matt Walks.
Thanks, Chris. And now for a little Q&A from you guys in the comments. First up here is from Gary in Valencia. He wants to know, what have you guys seen so far in Jason Kombinda?
What have we seen from Kombinda? Well, we're going to see he'll make his Raiders debut Sunday against the Colts. But what have we seen from him so far? Well, the preseason, he was the team's leading tackler. So he's a very productive player. A young player, right? A rookie with obviously a lot of room to grow. But Coach Gruden said he's a guy who can really stop the run. It's kind of what he's going to hang his hat on right now. But he's a young guy. I'm excited to see what he's got. You know, obviously the team parts ways with Derek Johnson and making room for Jason to come on up. But he's an exciting guy and a guy, I think, at the end of the day, who's been very productive in his limited run as a Raider.
Yeah, it's when you watch somebody in the preseason.
Sure.
And they play really well in the preseason, but they're doing it in the third and fourth quarter. People don't like to give you that much credit, saying, well, it's, you know, third teamers, you know, guys who may not make the team. He was fabulous in the preseason.
He was. He really was. And obviously now it's, you know, taking that next step and doing it against the starters and the second string guys in the NFL come Sunday. But he's a guy that I think as a Raiders fan, you should be excited to see what he shows you over these next 8-9 games for sure.
You want to find out who's the future. Are you going to be a part of the solution? That's right now where the Raiders are. You need to find out who's going to help you win games, not only this year, but going forward.
Yeah, so I mean, like you said, I think you said it perfectly. You're going to see what you have in Jason. You're going to see what he can bring to the table and see if he can do it consistently. So I'm excited. He's going to be one of the guys that I'm really going to be keyed in on Sunday. But, yeah, we'll see what he's got. Matty Doves, what else you got?
Next up, Jackie in Oakland. Who will step up in the receiving core with no Amari?
Well, we talked about it a little bit earlier. I think it's going to be by committee, right? You know, it's going to be Martavis Bryant. It's going to be Jordy. You're going to need more from Seth Roberts. Maybe we see a little more Brandon LaFell maybe come Sunday. But I think it really is going to be a by committee situation. But like we said earlier, these are a lot of playmakers, guys who can do things when they get the football in their hands. So I'm excited.
I'm not trying to be mean, but it wasn't like Cooper was having a great year. So when we say somebody needs to step up, you know, because you look at it, I believe in his career with the Raiders, he had 13 games over 100 yards. But then he had 19 games where he had 30 yards or less. So when you talk about being inconsistent, I know there's the big debate on is he open, is he getting the football enough? But I'm just, from the standpoint of who's going to replace, it's not like we're talking about replacing huge numbers.
No, I mean, the reality is he was this team's third leading receiver when he left. So, like, you brought up a great point where you aren't looking to, you know, replicate his production per se, but just maybe who he is. But, yeah, it's going to take a couple of guys to do that.
For sure. I'm going to go lean more on Cook, lean more on Jordy Nelson.
Yep, 100%.
All right, what else?
Let's move over to the backs here. A lot of questions about Marshawn. I think the best one here is moving forward, how do you guys feel about Jalen Richard and Doug Martin? That's from Katie in Wyoming.
That's what you got.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the biggest Jalen Richard supporter probably in this studio. I love Jalen. I love his game. I love everything. I love what he brings as a guy who can catch the ball to the backfield, what he can bring as kind of that pseudo power back, what he can do in space as well. So you're going to need a lot more from number 30. You are. You know, it's just the reality. You're not going to get Marshawn back at the earliest until Christmas Eve at least. So you're going to need more from Jalen and Doug Martin too. And, you know, we've seen, you know, similar to Kabinda a little bit where Doug had his moments in the preseason, but we're going to need more from those two 100%. And maybe a third guy, DeAndre Washington, to keep an eye on.
Well, that's the thing that John tells us on the Silver and Black show. He loves Jalen Richard's versatility. We went over the film in a show and he showed how much he's improved as a blocker and how much smarter he's gotten as a football player. He's a very versatile back. And basically, you take Marshawn out to put Doug Martin in.
Yeah.
He's been chomping, according to John, he's been chomping at the bit to get in there and play. Well, here's your shot.
He's going to have his chance 100%. And, you know, I think Doug and Jalen, very similar in some ways. You look at them, just their physique, their build, the way they run the ball, but also very different in some ways, too. So I think it's going to be fun to see how they kind of play off each other, starting on Sunday and then coming down the stretch here.
The thing I like about Jalen having him in there is not only can he run inside the tackles, obviously outside the tackles, but the more he plays, it gives you more of the option for the quarterback to dump it out to the back.
Mm-hmm.
And that could definitely help a line that's starting two rookie tackles.
Yeah. I mean, another thing about Jalen, you brought up great points and kind of his versatility. But one thing that I think we've seen from Jalen more this year than we have in years past, and call it the Marshawn effect or not, is he's not afraid to lower his shoulder and look for contact now. I don't know if he was necessarily doing that as much last year or as a rookie, but that's another asset of his game that I think is really improved. And he might be, you know, a small guy. He's not Will Chamberlain out there, but he will lower his shoulder and he will lay the wood. So I'm excited to see what Jalen has, and you know, now that he's going to get a little more run, see what he does with it.
Ooh, Wilt Chamberlain. I like it.
That's the first tall guy I thought of, right?
Next one.
Got another one here from Felix. Let's talk a little bit about Sunday. What's Sunday's key to victory against the Colts?
Ooh, I think it's going to be keeping Derek upright. I mean, this Colts defensive line, we talked about it with Caroline a little bit. I mean, they've gotten after the quarterback in a big way this year. I think they're tied for fourth in the NFL with 21 sacks already. And so I think it's going to be giving Derek time to operate, giving him room to do what he does, and finding those guys on the outside, finding the Jared Cooks, finding Martavis, finding Seth Roberts, giving him time to work. So I think that, for me, that's going to be my big key.
Yeah, I think that's a really good key. I mean, Derek had no time to throw in London. I mean, he had zero time. So that's going to be, you know, you got to establish some run game too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the thing, because Indy doesn't bring a whole lot of pressure. They don't blitz a lot. So if they're just going to have that four-man front in front of you, you got to be able to run the football. That's going to help out getting rid of the pass rush, slowing down their defensive line. That, to me, we really haven't seen the run game get going since the Cleveland game. So that's something that's going to happen. Use more play action, too. You start running the football, then your play action becomes far, far better.
Yeah, I think balance, 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 right? That's what we hear from coaches all the time. And you brought up a great point where, you know, the run game perhaps hasn't been there the past couple weeks, but against a Colts team that has shown that they are susceptible to letting guys get going on the ground, having that get going, having Jalen get going, having Doug start to get his, I think that, like you said, it helps everything. It helps this offense and everything that Coach Gruden wants to do on that side of the ball.
You got one more, Maddie?
Listen, if we didn't get to your questions here, we will circle back and get to them in Eddie's mailbag. Get your questions in the comments. Eddie will go through. He'll take some of the best ones, and a little later on this week, he'll answer them.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Absolutely. It was fun.
Marshawn Lynch. This might be it for him as a Raider.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is he's at the earliest. We will not see him until Christmas Eve, mm-hmm. but let's get this off the top first. If there's anyone who can come back from this injury and come back in a timely manner, it's going to be Marshawn. But the reality is, you know, a lot can happen between now and then. So I think, you know, this provides us a great chance to kind of think about what we've seen from the Beast since he was there. Do you have a favorite Marshawn moment from since he's put on the silver and black?
I would say the Cleveland game.
Mm.
The Cleveland game was, I mean, it was 130 yards. It was the most yards he had since he was a Seahawk. And it was really in that game where he helped the Raiders. It was a historic comeback to win 45-42. But to me, it was that game where you said, see, he still got it.
Yeah. I think mine will be a little bit different in twofold. One, I think my favorite thing about Marshawn is just kind of his community activism.
Oh,
all the
no
stuff,
doubt. Yeah.
All the stuff that he does off the field for the kids here in Oakland. I think that we cannot stress, you know, how important that is, how valuable that is, and, you know, how much of a good guy he is in that regard. My favorite kind of Marshawn on the field moment, though, I think of them kind of collectively. I think of all the times that he's either hit at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage and ends up falling forward for like 4 or 5 yards. Like, you don't see running backs do that anymore. And I know they aren't the flashiest runs, they aren't the sexiest runs, but when I think of Marshawn, that's what I think about. A guy, you know, having defenders draped all over him, you know, and taking what should be a net loss and turning into a gain of 5. So those, I think, are my favorite Marshawn moments.
A violent runner.
Oh.
Violent. They were, because everybody's asked, like, who do you compare him to? And I would say, for me, in my time watching football, I would say it would be Earl Campbell.
Mm-hmm. I've asked you that before, actually.
Yeah, so just go watch some Earl Campbell video, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, where guys are draped all over him, and back then the jerseys used to rip off. I mean, Earl Campbell, that's... I think of him, and I actually, Marshawn's agent, Doug Hendrickson, is a former college teammate of mine at San Jose State. There's a lot that he does that we don't even know about,
mm-hmm.
and that's something that I will never forget, what Marshawn does to make people's lives better. He's a very special man.
Absolutely. I mean, we've gotten a chance to kind of see, you know, the veil pulled up a little bit. We've kind of got to see Marshawn, you know, not on the field, right?
Yeah.
Everyone knows how good he is on the field, but we've kind of gotten to see Marshawn off the field. And the fact that he does all that he does for the community, the fact that he doesn't really like the publicity for doing that is awesome. And we've talked about it time and time again, where it's so easy to talk the talk in that regard and giving back to the community, but he walks the walk 100%. So kudos, tip of the hat to Marshawn.
Hopefully next Tuesday we'll be talking about a victory over the Indianapolis Colts. Andrew Luck, the former Stanford quarterback, comes back to town. It's going to be an interesting game. And of course, we'll see you all Sunday at the Coliseum. Thank you for watching Raiders Live.